I want to share this with you before I get started in the message. A couple of weeks ago, probably about a month ago, I taught a message was entitled Delivering Your Mind. Does anybody remember that message? After that message, I had a prayer line. We prayed for people. And I didn't know at that time what I was praying for in particular with this particular individual. And at that moment, I didn't know that anything in particular happened. And a couple of weeks later, this person came up to me. This person was crying. I could tell that something had seriously happened in their life. And I have gotten permission to share this. I won't say any name or anything, but I did ask before sharing this. This person was over 50 years old, had never been able to read. They couldn't read two words their whole life. After that prayer, they can read. Let's just give God some praise for that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's what I'm talking about right there. That's good stuff. And that's just the beginning. Do you know how many miracles we see in this place? Do you know how many other churches see nothing? And we see miracles here. I hope that we never, ever become so complacent that we don't give God the glory when we see these things happening. And I look at my own wife and I just thank God for His miracle-working power in her body. I look at some of you other people that I know you've had miracles. You've told me. I thank God that you're here. I don't want to ever become complacent. This is not just a regular denominational church. Has anybody figured that out yet? Glory to God. That's right. It's not just a regular church. We didn't come here to fulfill some kind of religious obligation. That's not what we're about. We're here for a reason. We're here to see people's lives changed. And we're going to see miracles as far as the eye can see. Do you believe that? I believe that. Pastor Dave has not stood this long for nothing. He's not stood this long for nothing. Can you imagine how many people would have stopped by now? How many people would have given up? I thank God He didn't. God knew the kind of person that He was choosing when He chose Dave Roberson. No doubt about it. As He always does, God chooses the right person for the right calling. He always does. He knows what you're made of. Yeah, this is going to be a little bit of a continuation of what I've been preaching here lately. But that's okay. Because this is what I believe God's saying to us. He knows who He's choosing. He knows what makes you, you. He looks inside and He sees what makes you, you. And whenever he planned everything out, he did so with you and who you are in his mind. So that when you fit into that place, you fit perfectly. Perfectly. Doesn't that give you encouragement? Doesn't that give you a sense of peace? Knowing that your Creator, the Creator of all of heaven and earth, when he planned everything out, and he planned for where you would fit in his body, he planned it knowing all about who you are, all about what makes you, you. And he put you in that plan with all of that in his mind. Because as you step into this place and you fill this place that he created for you, you will fill it as only you can fill it. Nobody else can. Nobody else could have been Dave Roberson or Gary Carpenter or Tim Stemple or you. The only benefit that we have looking at them is we see where they are walking at in their calling. And for a lot of us, we're looking at finished products. Let's just say that we know that there's no point where there's a finishing line necessarily, but for practical purposes, we're looking at finished products in use. But there's a point where you are going to step in and you're going to fill that perfect, unique spot that is precisely for you. As I was preparing for this, he brought me back to Joshua again. As I looked at Joshua, can you imagine the kind of shoes this man had to fill? Here he's taking the place of Moses. I mean, it's almost like taking the place of God. You know, here's the man that everyone has followed all of these years. And all of a sudden, now, Moses is dead. And now it's your turn, Joshua. It's your turn to step up and to take your place and to fulfill your call. I'm glad that Joshua said yes and did it. You know, God gives you a choice. Have you figured that out yet? He gives you a choice. You have the choice of doing it or not doing it. There's no force here. There's no coercion. And for many of you, within the sound of my voice, he's waiting on you. Yeah. He's waiting on you. Now maybe it might not be making that step into your calling, but maybe it just might be the next mountain that's in front of you. He's waiting for you to make the steps that you need to make, because he's not going to do it for you. He's waiting for you. Let's go into Joshua. I want to point out a few things. I'll tell you what, go back to Numbers first. I think this is a better place to start. Numbers chapter 14. Verse 1 in Numbers 14. This is where this is just after the spies came back. Caleb and Joshua had the faith-filled report. The others had the report that is called the evil report, because it was fear and how they couldn't make it. Looking at verse 1, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. See, that's the part right there that has to die. You remember I made the analogy on Sunday morning that the whole picture of the journey in the wilderness is a picture of the mortification and the transformation that takes place. The group that went into the wilderness, not the same group that went out. The ones that spoke this way with fear and doubt. That's what's supposed to die. That's what we put to death in the wilderness. That's what this message about transformation, about mortification, is going to accomplish in us. It's going to put to death those doubtful thoughts, the fearful thoughts, the things that want to take us back into bondage, back with that slave mentality. If you remember, I was talking about how these people, they thought like slaves. And through this process of the mortification and the transformation by the renewing of your mind, which is what Romans 12 talks about, the way you think is going to change. And the fearfulness is going to die in the wilderness. And what comes out the other side is going to be someone that thinks like God thinks. And that's what's happening in the wilderness. And notice that Caleb and Joshua, they didn't think that way. And they said, Caleb has a different spirit. Let's look at verse 29. And this is the perfect picture in verse 29, chapter 14, of that mortification process. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. You know, I have felt like I have been that carcass falling in the wilderness, going through some of the fasting and the mortification. Felt that death process. That's not easy. And it's not fun. But to get to the other side, to get to the place where God can use you. You see, some of us, we're all at different places in this process. Each and every one of us are at different places. Some of us may just be at the beginning stages. Others, you've been doing this for a while. There might be some of you that have done this and stopped. And you've just taken a place on the side and said, I can't do this anymore. If you're going to get to the place where you're at the other side of the wilderness and you're ready to walk into that land of promise, you've got to continue the process of dying to all of that junk, all of that wrong thinking, all of that fear. All of that stuff has to die. And if you just stop the process, just stop. You can justify yourself. I'm going to go to heaven. I'll go to heaven. I'll be in heaven. But it's like I shared Sunday morning. What about the fruit that was supposed to be bore by your tree? Because you didn't fulfill your place in the body. What about that fruit? Who's going to go bear that fruit? See, like I said at the beginning tonight, you're unique. There's only one you. And whenever God planned everything out, He planned it with all of your unique characteristics in mind. So that when you were ready and you went through all of this mortification and transformation and you became the person that God wanted you to be, that you could take that step and fill that place that was made only for you. And that you could bear the fruit that only you can bear. That place is there and it's waiting for you. So for those who, and I'm not just talking to those people in front of me that I can see, talking to those people listening on the internet. For those of you that have started this message, you've gone through the process of mortification. And you came to some stronghold in your flesh and you said, I can't go through this. And it stopped you and it put you on the sidelines. And the praying in tongues stopped and everything stopped. I know what that feels like. And it's hopeless. But I want to tell you, go back and listen to the message about rescuing your mind. Get your nose in the Word of God and start just reading that Word until you can bring yourself out of that place and you can get yourself back in your prayer closet and you can start praying again and you can start and you can continue in that mortification process because you're on that path and that path for your unique life is never going to change. Never. And that place of fulfillment where you fit like a glove in the place in God's body, there's only one way to it. There's only one way. There's not two, there's not three. There's one way. And it's through going in through that wilderness and getting to the other side. Can I hear an amen? And you can do it. You can do it. You can get through there. Let's talk about Joshua some more. Here he is. You look at Joshua, the first chapter. Moses is dead. And now it's Joshua's turn. And what happens? What happens? God comes to him. Comes to Joshua. Let's read what it says. Joshua chapter 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Now we don't have any words here that Joshua may have been thinking in his mind. But let's just put yourself in Joshua's shoes. God's approaching you. He's telling you, Moses is dead, and now it's your turn to step up, take your place, and take these people into the promised land. God is only going to tell you that if you're ready. It doesn't say if Joshua thought he was ready. It doesn't say anything about having any doubtful thoughts in Joshua's mind. It doesn't say anything about that. All we see is God telling him, And the next thing we see is Joshua's actions lining up with his agreement with what God said. He accepts the instructions of the Lord. And he begins to walk out those instructions. He begins to do, no matter what his mind might have been telling him at that moment. Can I do it? Can I really do this? Can I really fill Moses' shoes? The only reason that God would say to do it is because he was the right man at the right place, prepared to take that spot and to take them in. When you get those instructions, when you get that word from the Lord, it's because you're ready, and then it's up to you to say yes. Then it's your turn. Because like I said, he won't force you. He won't coerce you. It's your choice. And if you don't do anything, that's your choice. So you do this message. You're only doing this message for one reason. Do you understand that? That's the only reason that you're here. That's the only reason you're doing it. It's because you are finding the place in his body that is for you. That's what it's about. Do you understand that? And all along the way, you're going to have every kind of opportunity to stop. You're going to have every kind of opportunity to say, I can't do this. I can't go through this mortification process anymore. I'm tired of it. I'm tired. I'm tired of praying in tongues. I don't want to do it anymore. And if you let those thoughts continue in your mind, you'll stop. And that'll be it. And there you will stay. Because he's not going to go beyond where you're at. He's not going to take you someplace that you haven't prayed yourself into. That's the hardest thing, I think, for some people to understand. They think God will just use me just the way I am. No, darling, he won't. He'll allow you to sit and go through the process and use you as he can use you along the way. But he's not going to take you beyond where you're at in the process. Why? Because he doesn't want you to get hurt. He doesn't want you to be destroyed. And I thank God for that. I think about all the time before that I thought I was ready. Years ago, I thought I was ready. Oh my goodness. I think about all the praying and fasting that's happened since then. And I just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for not allowing me to hurt myself. It's like a little kid walking around with a loaded gun, just waving it in the air. We just have no idea what he saves us from when he saves us from ourselves. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. But Jesus, are you saying that I got to sit there and pray some more? Yes, you do, Mark. It's time for you to pray some more. Do I have to fast some more? Yes, you do, Mark. Just sit down here and fast some more. But why? I think I can do this. No, you can't. Just sit down, take your place, and grow. And when it's time, I'll let you know. Joshua, when it's time, I'll let you know. And then it was Joshua's time. It was time for him to step up. Do you think when he walked out of the wilderness the first time, think about this. Do you think in his wildest dreams he ever thought he would be the one taking them in? Think about that. In his wildest dreams, do you think Joshua thought, I'm going to be the one doing this? No. He saw Moses. But then it became his turn. You see, you don't choose your place. You don't choose your calling. You don't choose the instructions. And they don't have to make sense to your mind. All you have to do is say yes and obey. Let's go back and look again at Joshua. Verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you. As I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. And notice this in verse 7. It also says, only be thou strong and very courageous. Do you think that God is trying to make a point? That he would say it twice? Be strong and courageous. Oh, and by the way, you're going to need to be strong and courageous. Joshua, this is not for the weak. This is not for the frail. You're going to have to be strong. You're going to have to be courageous. You're going to have to walk into what seems to be total destruction, knowing that I am going to take care of you. You know, being courageous and being strong, it's easy to talk about. It's easy to tell someone to do that. But I've watched somebody when their body was racked with pain. I've watched them stand on the word. That's courage. That's courage. I've watched them when they're hurting. And anybody else would say, I'm ready to go. I'm done with this. And they get the word out and they speak the word. That's courage. That's what we're talking about. That kind of courage. That when whatever impossible circumstances come your way, you stand on what he told you. You get the word out and you speak it. And you say it. You confess it until your lips fall off. You keep saying it, and you keep saying it, and you keep saying it. And then you raise your hands and you rejoice for a while because you have the victory, because he said you have the victory, because he's not a God that can lie. And that's how you walk through the impossible. That's how you do it. And you will get to the other side of it. You will get there. It won't be fun, but you will get there. And once you get to the other side, guess what happens? Then other people around you will look at you and say, how in the world did you do that? I don't think I've seen anybody ever do that before. And that's what they'll say about you. Look a little bit more. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left hand, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. No matter what is faced, what you're facing, Joshua, no matter what you come in contact with that tries to stop you, here's the answer. Here's what you have to do beforehand. You're the right person, Joshua. This is the time for you. And here's what you have to do to get through any obstacle that you're faced with. Folks, you're coming up to a place where it's going to be your opportunity to decide. Your opportunity to say yes. And this is how you say yes and continue walking and continue moving ahead. Take this book of the law. Take the word of God and put it in your mouth and speak the word and say it day and night. Think about where you have walked from to get to this place. Think about it. You know, I have at different times written down some of the things, especially as we walk through some of the things with Debbie. There was one particular day, and I have a note that I wrote that day, and I put it on my desk. It was Mother's Day in 2009. It was a day when we laughed. It was a day when we had hilarious laughter. And we laughed, and we knew that it was over. And I wrote that down, and I put that on my desk so I could look at that note. And I could remember that day that we laughed. There are so many days that you have in your life when you've seen God come through for you. You've got to make a point of writing this down and putting it in a place where you can look at it, where it's going to remind you, I remember what happened on that day when He came and we laughed. And I'll never forget that day. I'll never forget the day we laughed. God does that so that you'll never forget. It's like a monument in your life that you're supposed to look at, and you can look at that and say, I know what happened on that day, and it changed me forever. So that when you're going into something that looks impossible, you can turn around and look and say, I know how impossible it was for her to live. And I know how I felt the day He came. And we laughed. We laughed. And it's a monument to me that I can look at and I can remember, so that whatever lies ahead for the rest of my life, I know that we can make it. We can make it. You have those same things. Don't tell me you don't. Don't tell me that God has done absolutely nothing in your life as you sit here. Don't tell me that. But if I went around and I asked each one of you, okay, give me five. Can you tell me five? Why not? Why can't you? These are things I want to hang around the devil's neck when he comes trying to beat my brains out. Do you hear what I'm saying? I want to have a Rolodex of these that I can go through and say, look at that, devil. Here's another one. Here's another one. And I know you have them because you're sitting here. And to go to this church and to stay here, you have to have some. But do you know them? How fresh are they? Do they make you cry? How fresh are they in your mind? You've got to have these things, because these are the monuments that you hang around the devil's neck and choke his brains out when he comes trying to hurt you and trying to stand on your emotions and make you cry. Make him cry. Remember what I said Sunday morning, what Rahab said when Rahab talked to the two spies? He said, I know who your God is. We all know who your God is. Your enemy knows who your God is. He knows, and he's scared to death. He knows. So I want you. You have an assignment. I want you to write down and stick it in places that you're going to see. I want you to write down, this is what God did on this day. I remember it like it was yesterday. I'll never forget. I'll never forget the first thing, the first really amazing thing that happened to me. I was in Mexico. I was a kid working in a mission in Mexico. I had enough money to buy my plane ticket home because it was time for me to leave. I had about 2 weeks left in the country. And this is what God said to me. He goes, give that money to the missionary. I don't think I heard you right, God. I have enough money to buy a plane ticket to get out of here. And I'm ready to go home. Give the money to him. I had no idea if he needed it or not. I mean, he's a missionary in Mexico. I think he probably needed it. But I needed it. I gave it to him. So I'm sitting here wondering, okay, how am I going to get home now? I don't know. I think I was like 25 years old. What do I know? I'm just a kid. I've been through one semester of Bible college. I'm in Mexico. I've been here for 2.5 months. I'm ready to go home. God, why am I giving my money away? Because I told you to. Okay. I love that missionary. He was gone on to be with Jesus now, but Papa Fructose. I learned faith from that man. I watched him live faith in front of me. So a few days go by. He comes up to me. And he said, we're going to go buy your ticket now. I said, I don't have any money. He said, God gave me some money. And it wasn't the money I gave him either. But God taught me something. He taught me obedience. He taught me how to trust him. How to do something that was beyond my control. And here I am in Mexico. And he came through. And I'll never forget it. You have to sit and remind yourself of the victories. Because we go through so many times of praying and seeing nothing as far as, you know, you're changing inside, but you don't see that. You're praying, you're changing inside. So when something happens, something that you know this is God, you've got to make something substantial for your mind to look at, for you to look at, for you to say, God, I remember that day. And every day forward from that point on, you can look back and say, I remember that day. I remember when that happened. I remember when it looked impossible and God came through. I'll never forget it. You have to have those days. You have to have that memory. You have to make it so you will not ever forget it. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Turn over to chapter 3. I'm going to start reading in verse 1. Joshua 3:1. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest, the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go. For you have not passed this way hitherto. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over the people, before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. When did he do that? He did it after Joshua obeyed. Not before. Joshua had already made the necessary arrangements. This is what's going to happen. He had already set things into alignment. He'd already said yes to God. And once he said yes to God, God responded. Now they'll follow you wherever you tell them to go. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord. And Joshua said, hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Why? Why? Why will they know this? Why will they know this? He's working this miracle of parting this Jordan. They're going to walk over on dry land. And they're going to know, just as they walked over on dry land, anything that stands in front of you, you're going to defeat it. Here's your miracle. Here it is. Look at it. Look at it. I'm parting this water. You're walking across. You are going to know as I bring you through this, that nothing is going to stand before you. And I don't want you to forget. Don't forget about it. So look what he tells him to do. Go to chapter 4. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take up 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command you them, saying, take up hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And you shall carry them over with you, and leave them in lodging place where you shall lodge this night. Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean you by these stones? Then you shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. When they took those stones up, what's different about stones that have been in water? Have you ever seen stones that have been underwater? All of those hard edges are all knocked off. They get knocked off because that water, after all those years, knocks all those hard edges off and they're smooth. So take those smooth stones out from the Jordan and put them on the other side and make a memorial. And those stones are going to look different than all the other stones on that shore. All the other ones are going to be hard and jagged, but you're going to have a memorial built of all those stones that have gone through all of that process with all those edges being broken off. And they're smooth. So that any time any of your children come up and look at that memorial, they're going to say, why is this memorial here? What's this for? Tell me. Tell me about these stones right here. Tell me what happened. Forever, there's a memorial of the goodness of God, how He led us through the waters on dry land. I'm telling you, folks, this is something that's going to get you through some of the hardest times that lie ahead for you. If you will hear me and you will do this, you will have one more tool to help you get through those hard times. When your mind is reeling from all of the worry and all of the anxiety, and all you see in front of you is impossible. It's impossible. I can't do this. It's impossible. There's got to be something that you can look at in your own life and you can say, but I've been in the impossible before, and it looked like that. And He brought me through it. And it looked like that. And He brought me through it. And you can continue to worship Him and thank Him, recounting victory after victory after victory where He's brought you through before. And He's going to take you through again. I don't care where you're at in this process of transformation and mortification, you will have opportunities to stop all along the way Even before you get to that place where you're ready to receive those instructions to fill your calling, you're going to have opportunities all along the way to stop. But all along the way, you're having victory after victory as you continue. But you have to continue to remind yourself, my God is faithful. I know He's faithful because He did this for me. And He did this for me. And He's walked to me every step of the way. Do you see what I'm saying? But you have to remind yourself, because you'll forget. You'll forget. You'll just simply forget. How could you ever forget? How could you ever forget the miracle that when you didn't have money to buy food, He put money in your hands. He put food on your table. How could you ever forget that when you needed the money for rent, there it was? How could you ever forget when you had no money to buy clothes for the kids? There it was. Look, folks, we have miracles in this church. And like I said at the very beginning, shame on us if we ever forget the miracles that happen here. And shame on us if we ever forget the miracles happening in our own lives. In our own lives. I was thinking about, I told you the other day about when the Lord gave me instructions to go to Ukraine. When you make plans to make a trip, and you know God's giving you the instructions to do it, you know what happens sometimes? He forgets to tell you how the money's going to come. And I don't know if you've ever traveled anywhere or not, but if you travel internationally, it takes a few dollars to do that. But I can remember back to how He brought the money in to pay for the airfare to make the trip. And it wasn't how I ever expected it to come in. It didn't all come in at once. Sometimes it came in a little bit here and a little bit there. But when it was time, the money was there. Some of you are going to make some trips in the future. You're going to make some trips. I want you to know, when He tells you to go, even if it looks impossible, just say, yes, I'll do it. Not because you know how it's going to happen or how He's going to bring the money in your hands. Maybe you don't know that. Probably you don't. If you could, what do you need God for? Just say yes. I'll do it. Commit yourself. For myself, I wrote it down when He gave me the instructions. I wrote it down. I commit myself to this. I say yes to You, God. I wrote it down. I put it in my binder so I can always look at that. I'm committed to this. You have to do these things, folks. You have to. Gary's great about telling us, and he does this, documents everything, charts that path all along the way. Why? He can show you that 3-ring binder from all the things he believed in years ago. Do you think that gives him any sense of encouragement even today? Oh, yeah. All you got to do is look at it. Look at all the answered prayer along the way. Document these things. Memorialize them to yourself of how faithful God has been to you. And then go and look at it and remind yourself, if He did it for me then, He's going to do it for me now. All I have to do is believe. Did you get anything out of that tonight? Amen. Stand up to your feet, please. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Heavenly Father, we purpose to go back and to look at the times that you've answered our prayers. To look at the times when it looked impossible, but you came through. When we didn't know how we were going to make it, you came through for us. Father God, we will not forget. We purpose to go back to look at these things, to remind ourselves of your faithfulness, to remind ourselves we made it then because God answered our prayer. We will make it now and we will always make it. We will always, always make it because you're faithful. You are faithful, God. And you love us and we love you and we worship you. In Jesus' name.